I shared something yesterday, just a brief little remark
about a circumstance that coming up for me, and just talking to the Lord about it. The Lord made sense, made a real simple statement. He said, "Chuck, I'm going to do good for you. I'm going to be good to you." That sounds so simple, but it's really so profoundly true, because in making that statement, he once again declared to me his nature, and therefore the basis on which I trust him. Let me read this to you. Chapter 1. So I don't really know exactly what I wanted to say this morning. I'm just in the place where I have visions of sugar plums dancing in my head. There's just this thing about Christianity that's so enchanted. And I think some Christians kind of lose sight of that. You know, the Lord said, when explaining the gospel, it says about who we were, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." That all sounds pretty bad. "Of the spirit that is now indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath." That's who we were by nature, even as the rest. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together in Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and goodness and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved." And that's what it means to be saved. You were made alive together in Christ, and you're seated in heavenly places in Christ. That's what it means to be saved. There's something enchanted about that. There's something remarkable about that.
Bishop, where are you reading from?
Ephesians 2.
Ephesians what?
Ephesians 2.
Yeah. I'm sorry, my ears aren't what they used to
be. You know, and I may not have said where I was going. Ephesians 2, I'm now in verse 7. "In order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness," or goodness, "towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not as a result of your works, that anyone should boast, for we are his masterpiece, created person of Christ Jesus." In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the kind intentions of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace." And the glory of God is his goodness, "to the praise of the goodness of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the kind intentions which he purposed in him, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of time, that everything should be summed up in Christ, things in the heaven, things in the earth. In Jesus also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose who works, to his purpose who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who are the first to hope in Christ Jesus should be the praise of his goodness or glory." So, and the older I get, the more this is true, becomes true. See, because even though my outer man's decaying, my inner man's becoming more and more like Narnia. My inner man's being renewed day by day. So my inner man can relate to all this because I'm getting closer to Narnia unfiltered. And so to me, when I see things like AI, you know, artificial intelligence, and you'll see these things, and you'll have somebody who'll pull up some kind of computer or some kind of digital device and like just show in the air these screens and numbers. And it's amazing. It's like magical. But to me, that's like the Bible. They're just kind of catching up. Humanity's kind of catching up. Don't even know what they're talking about this world that Christians live in, seated in heavenly places. This is more than just a book. The Holy Spirit said he would lead us into the truth. The Holy Spirit's our tour guide into this amazing life in Christ, into this good news, this gospel thing, this large place where he's put us in Christ. And so every time I open up this book, it's like this amazing sort of not like supernaturally, not only artificial intelligence, but it's real intelligence where it's just like, it comes alive. So it jumps off the page. There's like this thing going on. It's just a sci-fi thing going on. It's enchanted because it's full of enchanted ideas. The gospel is the most enchanted thing in history. And we as Westerners are such learners. We've almost stolen away the enchantment of it all because we're about information. But there's more. Like, how can there be Christians around the world who can't even read or write, but seem to walk in a greater anointing than all of us Westerners who have all the information because they've not given in to the outer man thing just being the most real thing. And so when I read this stuff and I think about what I just said a minute ago, that the Lord said to me, Chuck, I'm going to be good to you here in that situation. And it just reminded me, I said, of course you are, because everything you do is full of kind intentions. You work all things after the counsel of your will, according to your kind intentions, to the end that will be to the praise of the glory of your goodness, of your grace. That's remarkable to me. I don't understand that. I can't figure that out. I can't put free will, God's sovereignty together. It's magical. I don't want to understand Narnia. I want to enjoy Narnia. I want to know how to navigate Narnia, not just understand it all. And so I get tickled at people who try to write books about the goodness of God, and then they want to make it so it all makes sense to us. Then you've lost me. You've lost the truth. If you want to make it all make sense because it has to make sense for us to believe, I don't want to believe in a God who makes sense all the time. I want to believe when nothing makes sense, don't you? How can I give thanks in all things if it has to be make sense to me? Don't give me a book where all the points come together and all makes sense. What doesn't make sense is this. The most enchanting thing I've ever heard of is that what was God going to do for Chuck in his lost condition? Now, there's several things going on in Chuck in my lost condition. I was separated from him, didn't know nearness, created for nearness, didn't know nearness. I was guilty of sin, and I'd become a slave to sin. And Chuck was a mess. Lost in his story, when the whole story was a mess. So what was God going to do? Because he says in the scripture, this grace which he lavished upon us in verse 8, in all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will. You know what the mystery is? This is Colossians chapter 2. That is, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance and understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ himself. So the mystery revealed the solution to Chuck's stuff. Chuck's condition was this. Here's the Father said, here's what we're going to do. How do I get him near? I want to get him as near as I created him to be to me. And he can't do anything to get there. So I've got to reconcile him to me. He can't reconcile himself to me. I've got to do that. I need to clean off his record. I need to give him a different record. I need all of his sins to be paid for. I need for the person who he's become, a slave to sin, just this earth person who's not only outer man's decaying, but the inner man's decaying too. I need to fix all that. How am I gonna, what is the solution to fixing all that? Here's the solution. What I'll do, I'll take him and I'll put him in Jesus. And I'll put him in the stuff of Jesus. I'll create him in Jesus. That'll be my great masterpiece. My creating Adam and Eve wasn't the greatest masterpiece. It was a masterpiece. But how I fixed them after they fell, that's the greatest masterpiece of all. And the solution is the person of Jesus, and I'm going to place him in Christ. Now listen to the story. In the incarnation, Jesus as the Son of Man is going to live in my place and on my behalf, clothed in my humanity, tempted in every way, just like me, yet without sin. And so when his life is over on this earth, I have a whole new record. And then I'm going to take that fallen Chuck, that guilty Chuck, in the person of Christ, and that Chuck's going to be crucified and sins are going to be paid for, but not just sins paid for. The one who's inner man's decaying is going to be crucified and buried too. And I'm going to raise him up in Christ in resurrection. And in the stuff of Jesus, he's now going to have Jesus' nearness to me. I can't get him any closer than that. He's going to be brought near in Christ. I'm going to be as kind to him as I am to Jesus. I'm going to be as good to him as I am to Jesus. As a matter of fact, I'm going to fill him with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places he's in Christ. Because that's where he's seated in the heavenly places. He doesn't live under circumstances and situations anymore. He lives the above life, the life and life more abundant. That's going to all happen in the person of Jesus. You see, I'm working all that according to my wisdom and insight, because wisdom is our thoughts that have solutions, and this is the solution to all the problems. And I have insight in everything that's about Chuck that's messed up. I know everything about his story that's messed up. I'm going to place him into the story of Jesus. And now it's going to be Jesus' story lived out through his humanity on his way to heaven, and he'll be seated there on his way to heaven. And so when the enemy comes to me, the Father, and approaches me and accuses him, I'm going to go, well, no, right here. He was tempted every way, like, but he wasn't. He's holy and blameless. But see, the other record was taken out of the way, and he has Jesus' record. And when the enemy comes to him, to Chuck, to tempt him, Chuck can say, you're not dealing with me anymore. You're dealing with him because he's my life. And he doesn't get angry like that and doesn't get frustrated and fearful and gripey and complaining and self-pity. It's just not who he is, and he's my life. And I'm just going to keep sinking into him and trusting him to live out his life through me. And the light, and I'm now have his, I'm in his story. It's now his story being lived out through my life story. And everything about my story is being everything is going to be filtered through the counsel of my will, which is full of kind intentions. Wow. I'm going to be as good to him as I am to Jesus because he's in Christ. He's clothed in my kind intentions. He's filled with the very adequacy of Jesus to face everything. And I'm going to work all things after the counsel of my will in his life. And the counsel of my will is filled with kind intentions. He may not understand everything that happens, but he can know that it's my story now and that my goodness will be revealed to the praise of the glory of my grace. That's enchanted, guys and gals. That's remarkable. It's inexplicable. If you have questions about it, don't worry about it, as a New Yorker would tell you. Believe it. It's what it says. Don't try to make it say something that fits your theology. Let it say what it says. His theology is much more enchanted than anything you'll ever come up with. That's why no matter how many books are ever being written about him, the book he wrote himself is the best book of all. That's why it's the bestseller, should be. And again, longest sentence in the Bible. Verse 14, he finally put a period. We got it and put periods in there. There's no periods. Paul couldn't stop about this grace lavished on us to the praise of the glory, the goodness of his grace. We're his workmanship. We're his masterpiece. It's a miracle. You're a miracle. You're enchanted. Why don't we live that? Because we don't believe it. Why don't we believe it? Because the enemy's deceived us and believing the gospel is too good to be true. But I'm telling you that the gospel that you believe isn't chalked full with what sounds like fantasy, then you don't believe the real gospel, because it's magical. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.